Welcome to Gal Pals Watch. I'm Sarah.
And I'm Alicia.
And this is a podcast where we discuss queer lady movies, more or less.
Yeah. Absolutely.
And today we are talking about a brand new movie. It released on April 29th of this year, the year of our devil, 2022. and it is called Crush. Aptly named Crush. It is on Hulu. And it stars Rowan Blanchard. I really should have looked up the pronunciation of this before we started recording, but I think it's Ali'i.
Looks like Ali'i.
Yeah. Carvalho. Mm-hmm. Carvalho. And some other people. Megan Mullally is in it.
Yes.
Some other random people. And it was directed by Sammy Cohen. It was her feature directorial debut, written by Kristen King and Casey Rackham. And it has a long list of producers, but among them are Natasha Lyonne and Maya Rudolph.
I wrote all the same things.
Wow.
We are interested in the same things.
Nice.
Yeah, I was like pleasantly surprised about the Natasha Lyonne and Maya Rudolph thing. I thought it was very sweet.
Yeah.
So good to hear.
I'm a fan of both of them.
And I think...
Yeah, go ahead.
Kristen King or Casey Rackham. Sorry?
I've said Kristen instead of Kristen. That was my bad.
Oh, so I think one of them is like an auto straddle writer or...
Oh, yeah, probably.
Maybe not. Or related to, you know, some lesbian YouTuber / BuzzFeed people or ex BuzzFeed people,
a lesbian at large on the internet.
Yeah,
of some kind.
They are a lesbian at large. I remember listening to a podcast I think that had a Kristen King in it.
Oh, cool.
So yeah, that was useless information. I don't even know what it's called anymore.
So interesting. We have the ability to Google it now. I think that's enough information. So
yeah, Google.
Google.
If you feel like Google. And the synopsis of this film I thought was pretty funny. Ooh. Because I like read it first and I started watching it and then I read the synopsis and I'm like, how is this going to happen? because it starts off by saying, when a young artist is forced to join her high school track team, she uses it as a chance to pursue the girl for whom she's been harboring a crush, but finds herself falling for an unexpected teammate and discovering what real love feels like.
LOL. That is a pretty funny synopsis.
It is.
I forgot about, which is funny because it's kind of a pivotal plot point. I forgot about the fact that she was kind of forced to join the track team.
Exactly.
This is my biggest issue with the film, is that plot point. So like, okay.
Makes no sense.
Yeah. Paige is the main character played by Rowan Blanchard. She is an artist. She's very tortured about her art because all of her art is apparently too happy or something. And she like needs to make like a good moody art piece.
Or like not happy enough.
Or not happy enough.
It's like she's bored by her art.
Yeah. And apparently everyone else is, which is.
Yeah.
Really, I agree. Okay. And she really wants to get into like this art program. I think it's a summer art program.
Yeah. Through CalArts.
CalArts. That's right. So her sort of central goal from the beginning of the movie is to make a piece of art that would be good for her like application or whatever.
Mm-hmm. And the prompt is supposed to be like the happiest moment in your life.
Yeah, your happiest moment.
And she's like, I don't know. And she has like several ideas for what it might be and she sketched it out, but none of them really feel like it's the happiest moment, because for her, the happiest moment revolves around love.
Yeah, I take a little bit of issue with that. I think that in this culture, we glorify romantic relationships above all other kinds of relationships.
Mm-hmm.
And this movie for sure does that. But at the same time, like, love is cute. It's fine.
Yeah.
But anyway, sure. So there's this other conflict mystery thing that's happening where there's a character, a mystery character named King Pun, who goes around spray painting, like, the school and, like, different, it's mostly the school, actually. Quote unquote vandalizing the school, but really just like spray painting cute like puns and drawings on different things. And everyone's trying to figure out who it is. Everyone thinks that it's Paige, and Paige is like, it's not me, but nobody listens to her.
including the principal,
played by Michelle Buteau, who I find very funny.
Yes.
But she basically says, like, I don't believe you, and I'm going to suspend you for being King Pun, even though she has no evidence, because it's not actually Paige.
Mm-hmm.
And she, so Paige, like, strikes a deal where she'll join the track team, which, like, needs another person, if the principal will give her enough time to figure out who King Pun really is and turn them in. And that, for me, was, like, such an eye roll. I was like, I hate this. So I know it's not like supposed to be realistic or whatever necessarily, but it just is so far-fetched.
Yeah, no, I
ridiculous. I don't know.
I agree. I'm reading a book right now. I think you've read it too. One Last Stop.
Oh, you know, I started it. I got about a little bit more than halfway. And I just was like, I don't want to spend any more time on this for basically the same reason. I was just like, exactly. I'm not buying this.
Exactly. So that's so that's something that I was like, I am sort of here for this because it's spinning the idea of like all the other like stupid ass straight rom-coms in this world where you're like, I have to suspend my belief right now in order to like make this even work in my head, but it's still like so cute or whatever that like, you know, you're crying by the end of it or whatever. And I'm like, you know what? Yeah, we need that same shitty stuff with queer people in it. Like, I'm not saying this book is shitty. I actually really like it.
Okay.
And I actually like this movie too. But yeah, there is that sense of like, this is so fucking unrealistic. And I love it. Like for me anyway.
That's true. I think we need both good and bad things.
We need not the fluff,
bad.
You know.
Yeah, the fluff. It's not bad in the way that a lot of other queer movies are bad, where I don't know, bad is such a lazy word, kind of, but it's just like it's still very cute, very queer centric. Mm-hmm. And there's no coming out drama at all. There's like a little snippet in the beginning where Paige comes out to her mom. It's like a preamble kind of. She comes out to her mom when she's like 10 or something.
Yeah.
And her mom is like, great. Her mom is played by Megan Mullally, by the way, who I always find her entertaining to watch.
Agreed.
She gives Paige some dental dams, some like dental dams that have the Cal Arts logo or something.
And they glow in the dark.
And so she funny. Goes, we don't use those. And it's true. I've really never known anyone to use a dental dam.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, I wonder. I'm sure some people do.
I'm sure they do. That was one of the unrealistic parts of this film too. I was like, there's no mom out there that's this sex positive and like buys their kid like over $100 sex toys like on the regular and like gives them dental dams and stuff. I'm like, it's just not. But it's also like Megan Mullally is so great that like I'll watch her in anything. She's just so funny. So it was great to see that, like, and like a single mother by choice kind of character. And yeah, everything was a bit like far-fetched in this movie, but
mm-hmm.
I like it. Like, it was little things like, of course this is going to happen right now.
Yeah.
Like the stars align, of course, at this one moment. And like for this to happen. And the plot definitely made them do this, you know? But part of me is like, yeah, it's like just like every other teen rom-com that's like this.
That's true. And it was super cute. Like Paige also, she has another motivation for the track team, joining the track team, which is that she's had a crush on this girl, Gabriella, for ever. And Gabriella has a twin sister, a fraternal twin sister, named AJ. And they're both on the track team and they're both really good track athletes.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's a little bit of like a love triangle-ish thing going on for a little bit. Paige kind of realizes she gets closer to AJ, who agrees to help her find out who Kingpin is. And spoiler alert, can I spoil this? I'm going to spoil it. I'm giving you listeners a big heads up. Spoiler. AJ is Kingpin. It's not that big of a surprise.
Yeah, you kind of find out after the second interaction. You're like,
it's a double.
Yeah, it's pretty easy. When Paige finds the notebook, I'm like, yeah, it's because there's a lot of AJ's bag and AJ's right next to it. Like, you know, stuff like that.
And, you know, I looked up Ali'i Carvalho and she played Moana.
Yeah. She's the voice of Moana.
Cool. Yeah. And she's also openly bi, which is cool.
Yeah.
Blanchard, absolutely. I think, also identifies as queer.
Yes. Rowan Blanchard is also queer. I don't know about Isabella Ferreira, who plays Gabby, or any of the other people in this film, but
I don't either.
I was pleasantly surprised by the casting, how diverse it is. It's not like super after school special about it either, you know?
It's just very integrated into the lives of the characters.
Yeah. I thought it was just super cheesy how much of a, I guess, stereotype Paige is of I feel a Gen Z lesbian.
Yeah.
She had
go ahead.
Oh, she had a girl in red t-shirt on.
Oh, yeah. Which
I have not heard even 1 second of, but I know it's lesbian music.
Yeah. It's emo, young emo lesbian music.
Which is exactly what Paige is.
Yeah, exactly. I thought actually that it was a little bit hitting you over the head with, I don't know,
stereotypes.
Queer performance or whatever.
Mm.
Or lesbian performance.
Yeah.
In the beginning, anyway. They were just hammering it home. This person is gay.
Yeah, I totally agree with that.
Get it.
And then even when Paige's character in the beginning is going through all the queer girls at school. And it's kind of everyone is their own token character. There's the witchy one.
Yeah.
And then the player one and, you know, stuff like that. But I feel
that though, because it's there are many queer girls at this school and everybody is just out.
For sure.
It's not a drama. It's just how it is.
Yeah, it just gave me that Mean Girls vibe where they're this is the table of band geeks or whatever, and this is the table of blah blah blah, but in a more wholesome way.
Yeah, Mean Girls without mean. No one was mean.
Yeah, no one was mean.
And I like that.
But I think it also shows how much of, even in Gen Z times, how much of a fucking desert it is for queer people. Right? You're I have these 5 options.
Aww.
As a 16-year-old or whatever. And it's
especially as a high school student when you're just in this one school.
Exactly. So it's it's still such a desert for these, for the kids who are interested in dating. It's it's almost they have no choice but to pine after someone that, you know, is maybe not interested in them because there's not much, I don't know.
Yeah.
Having straight girl crushes and stuff like that.
Yeah. Yeah, there's no straight girl crushes here, which is nice.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
Yeah,
Paige's best friend though, Dylan. That's his name, right?
Something like that.
Here I am once again forgetting, yeah, Dylan, forgetting the male characters' names. Dylan is Paige's best friend. He is straight. He's dating a girl named Stacy. And both of them are running for class president while also being extremely into each other. And like, it's kind of a gag where they're both running and they have this like rivalry going at the same time where they're like, just like, I don't know if I would say they're in love. They're definitely just like banging.
They're definitely horny.
Yeah.
And they're like, I think they love that. Well, I guess not love. I think they're horny for the fact that each other like wants to be successful in life.
Yeah.
Cause they are like on the same page where they're like,
that's true. You
know, I want to be president one day, essentially, or like, yeah. I want to be, you know, CEO. And they like love that for each other and they like get off on that.
Yeah. And in the end, like Stacy wins the presidency and Dylan is just like happy about it.
Yeah. I feel like it was
a real conflict.
Yeah. I feel like it was a genuinely like good representation of like a healthy couple. And like, you know, even if you're both, you know, it's like a separate like individual growth and also growth together. I feel like that was really sweet. Mm-hmm. It is like definitely like for laughs, I yeah. think. Like all their like it's kissing and stuff.
Yeah. They did do, at one point they go to like a track meet where they have to go like overnight somewhere and they all go to
one. Of course they do.
Yeah. And they all go to one of the hotel rooms and have like a party and they play spin the bottle. And Stacy's like, because it's 2022, nobody actually has to kiss if they don't want to. Uh-huh. And I was like, that's great.
Yeah. It's just like a, you go into the bathroom, kind of 7 minutes in heaven kind of thing. Yeah. And yeah. But you can do whatever you want
yeah.
within that 7 minutes, which, yeah, I thought was really sweet. And it's interesting because Paige, you know, like a lot of rom-coms with unrequited love, Paige likes Gabby. Gabby's like, meh, they're dating, like, another queer person at their school who is non-binary and like an influencer. And they're like on and off.
We saw them more like that character because yeah. they don't even have any lines. They just were like in the hallway.
Basically. Yeah. Yeah. I would say like
cool, but just, yeah.
Yeah. Barely any lines, but yeah, that's, you know, that is something that this movie was lacking too, like non-binary trans representation. Mm-hmm. But so like Gabby's, you know, on again off again with the person they were dating, and then like they finally kind of notice that Paige really likes them, so they're like, or she's going into, you know, realizing that maybe this is an opportunity. Mm-hmm. But Paige at that point already likes her sister AJ, mm-hmm. Gabby's sister AJ.
It's a whole different thing if it was Paige's sister.
Yeah, no, no, no. And Gabby like tries to put the moves on Paige a couple of times, like they smooch.
Yeah.
During a stakeout, and it's yeah, just
they're trying to find King Pun. They think that King Pun is going to be it. At the school at night or whatever. Yeah, anyways.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but of course, you know, in the end when Gabby realizes that Paige really likes AJ and not really her anymore, she's very supportive of her sister.
Yeah.
And Gabby getting together, and there's a whole, you know, plot to get them together at the end, which that's I good. Thought was like, you know, eye roll, super cheesy, but also like cute.
Yeah, there it is cute. There's a little bit of drama when, so Paige and AJ during that 7 minutes in heaven's been the bottle thing go into the bathroom together, and they end up kissing, and AJ thinks it's both of their first kiss, but Paige has already kissed Gabby, even though it was like a very sort of like awkward chase, like, and neither of them were super into it.
Yeah.
I mean, they both wanted to do it, but then they, I think both were like,
Yeah, the hurt was really into it.
Exactly. Yeah. And then AJ gets upset when she finds out that Paige didn't tell her that she'd already kissed her sister or whatever, and thinks, I think it's more of a issue of AJ feeling like she's in Gabby's shadow a lot, because Gabby's a lot more outgoing. She's a little bit more femme, if that has anything to do with it. I don't really know. And is a little bit more of like the shining star, even though they both are kind of shining stars.
Yeah. It sounds like AJ has a lot more pressure put on her from her parents, like to be the best she could possibly be in track. And while Gabby also gets that, I think that, yeah, there's some sort of feeling that AJ has where she feels like she's living in the shadow of her sister for sure. So of course, when the person she likes has kissed her sister first, that really sends her into a tailspin.
Yeah. But she gets over it.
Of course she does. Yeah, there's a big, you know, admission of love and kind of a big show of affection and all that. Like I said, eye roll, very cute.
Yeah.
Love to see it.
It is pretty cute.
Yeah. What I did really like about this film is that, you know, being gay wasn't, I mean, it was a thing, but not like a thing. So it wasn't like coming out wasn't something that they had to overcome. In fact, like the only time there is a little bit of coming out is in the beginning, like you said, when Paige comes out to her mom, and I love her mom's response. She just randomly like shouts out like another gay person, and she's like, I'm sorry, my first reaction is to just name other gay people. I'm like, that's so legit.
Yeah.
I feel like people do that, like straight allies do that all the time.
Oh my God, that's so true.
It's so funny. But so I thought that was like,
just like, oh man, did your mom do that? Or your parents at all?
No.
Did anyone else do that to you ever?
Probably. I just don't quite remember. I remember like having, you know, my teenage woes being like, oh, there's like no one to like date, or like so-and-so doesn't like me, or like, you know, that kind of stuff. Like, I'm gonna be alone forever. And then they'll be like, so-and-so's gay. And I'm like, yeah, but I'm not like interested in them, you know?
My mom would do that too. And especially like when I was living in a rural area and like also wasn't totally out, and my mom would just like think of anyone, even if she didn't know they were gay, someone who like looked gay or whatever. Here I am dragging my mom on this podcast. She's a very wonderful female. She has great intentions.
She should be so supportive. And you're like, no.
A little too supportive, maybe. No. Anyway. Yeah, so I don't know. I liked this movie. I probably wouldn't watch it again, but I would recommend it.
I think I would watch it again.
Yeah.
It's something that I thought Aaron might like, because who's my fiance, BT Dubs, to the listeners. I thought she would like it because even though it's like super cheesy, I think it's also really heartwarming for elder gays to like just see like a movie like that where being gay is not the problem.
Yeah,
it's just like regular teenage shit. So I think that's cute. I think my daughter would probably like it in a little bit of time, a couple of years.
Yeah.
Because I mean, I think she would like it now, but I don't want to watch it with her right now.
Yeah.
Because there are some scenes where I'm like, I don't know if I feel comfortable with that, you know.
But like, I'm not Megan Mullally.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I should be, maybe, but I'm not. Well, rather, I'm okay with it. I think she would feel uncomfortable if a parent was in the room. That's the big one.
Yeah.
So, I would recommend it. I might watch it again. I thought it was very cute, super, you know, cheesy, but I think it was good.
Yeah. It was a little boring, but a little cute and a little fun and a little funny.
Yeah, it was very prescriptive, right? Yeah. Like, you know who King Pun is, basically.
Yeah.
like I said, like very early on, it's no surprise when AJ's like comes out as King Pun.
Yeah, that's the only coming out that happens.
That's really the only coming out. So I did look up some reviews on this, and they do seem to be a bit mixed. Mm. And the ones that are, you know, more negative slanting, you know, not as good is because it's not necessarily like, I think because it's prescriptive.
Mm-hmm.
So, but like I said, I think that's okay. I think as long as there's a mix, like you were saying,
mm-hmm.
then it's okay. Everyone like needs like a floofy queer story.
I feel like Heartstopper is getting a lot of that attention right now. Have you seen that on Netflix?
I haven't yet, no.
I really enjoyed it. Also, a little bit like this, where there is some coming out drama, a little bit. There's definitely like homophobia happening.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, like homophobic bullying.
Mm-hmm.
But for the most part, it's just like a very sweet coming of age teen romance thing.
Yeah.
Boys who are very cute.
Nice.
And I've heard some criticism of that show being like, oh, well, it takes the sex out of queerness. And I've also heard counter criticism, which I agree with, which is, yeah, but they're like 14. And like, it's okay to just have it be like sweet and pure. Like, not everything has to be sexual. Yeah. It's kind of part of what we fight against sometimes as queer people, is like over sexual.
Absolutely.
So,
yeah, we're not, it's not just like asexuality.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And there's also asexuality.
Yeah. It's not asexuality, but asexuality is a thing. Anyways, you can follow our language.
The intention. Sorry for any non-English speaking people. That was very confusing.
Sorry. Even for English speaking people. Anyways, tell us what you think. Have you watched this movie? Sorry, did you want to say something else?
Oh, there's this one. I just wanted to quote this one thing from IndieWire because it mentions another film that we have discussed. So this article on IndieWire, I'm written by Jude Dry. We love to see it. We talk about that author constantly. So it says, under its commercial veneer, Crush slips in some pretty edgy humor, particularly around sex and queerness, that might give the movie a broader appeal beyond its target audience. It may not reach the comedic heights of Booksmart, the current high watermark for queer teen comedies, but it's far from flunking out. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I think it doesn't, because Booksmart is about like, it's more of the sexuality of it instead of the like dating pureness of it.
It's true.
Crush. It's called Crush for a reason, right?
Yeah.
There we go.
Also, these characters are a bit younger, I think.
I think so too. Yeah, they're not going into adulthood quite yet.
Yeah. Booksmart, that's a good one.
It is so good.
Anyways. All right. Cool.
Yeah. Let us know what you think.
Yeah, let us know what you think.
You can email us at galpalswatch@gmail.com.
Uh-huh. You can find us on Twitter at galpalswatch.
And Instagram at galpalswatch.
Yep.
I'm still laughing at the time I called it galpalswatch.com email. I was so tired that day.
We should look at what, maybe we shouldn't look at what that is.
If you're brave.
If you go there, just know it is not us. We do not have a website.
Called GalPalsWatch.
No, called GalPalsWatch or any website.
Yeah, except just the Podbean one.
Yeah.
That's it.
Oh, yeah.
Pretty. Well, thank you for listening. And
thank you.
As always, keep it hella gay.